Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, a warm welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Today I'd like to talk about the legend that was Muhammad Ali. What can be said about Muhammad Ali that has not already been said, and not only in English but in every language of the world? As a child, I was intrigued by this good-looking young black man who created his own publicity. I don't know of anybody outside the world of Hollywood who managed to grab so much media attention as he did. What's all the more remarkable is the fact he was doing it before he ever became a superstar. I suppose it's fair to say he was a minor celebrity at this stage, having, at the age of 18, represented his country in the Rome Olympics in 1960 and winning the gold medal in light heavyweight. But when he returned to Louisville and he tried to enter the diners and bars, he was refused because of the colour of his skin. He was lucky that he arrived on the scene just as Malcolm X and Martin Luther King were fighting the racial injustices forced upon the blacks. But Cassius Clay, as he was then known, was not the normal boxer who could talk only with his fists. He was at the time what the Stones were to popular music, something to be loathed by white middle America. He was brash and articulate, as this excerpt from one of his records shows.
People ask me how I became a poet. I tell them I didn't become a poet. I was born the poet. Poetry comes natural to me, like boxing. A lot of people are surprised that a fighter like me is such a great poet. They say boxing and poetry don't mix. They are wrong. Boxing and poetry do mix. This same fist that can knock out a man holds a pen that writes a poem. Now that's poetic justice. Poetry and boxing do mix. All the great poets should have been fighters. Take Keats and Shelley for an example. They were pretty good poets, but they died young. You know why? Because they didn't train. They say you should write poems about what you know, about what you love. I write poems about what I love. I write about me. A lot of people don't see the beauty in poetry. They don't realize that a poem is even more beautiful than a left jab to the nose. To show you the beauty in poetry, I like to read a poem by one of the greatest poets of all time. This is the most beautiful poem ever written. I wrote it about 6 months ago. This is my greatest poem, and I'm looking forward to 1965 when I'm going to read it in Washington, D.C. at the inauguration of the president. This poem is entitled, I Am the Greatest, number 73, by Cassius Clay. For those of you who haven't heard, I'm a most enchanting guy.
A most enchanting guy.
The greatest boxer that ever lived. Would you like me to tell you why?
Tell us why. Tell us why.
I was born the champion. I'm poetic. I'm brash. I swing.
Swing.
My greatness is too much for me. Man, I'm everything.
Thing?
Cassius of old dropped Caesar 20 centuries ago.
Go, go, go.
And this Cassius will cool Liston, as you already know.
No, no, no.
Yes, yes, yes. For at the end of the bout, you are going to hear the ref shout.
The winner and new champion!
Mr. Liston won't see that the victor is me, for stars are all he'll be seen.
Twinkle, twinkle, little stars, Liston's on his way to Mars.
No, Liston won't hear. He'll be flat on his ear, and I'll be new champion.
No, you'll be new champion.
They all must fall in the round I call.
They all must lose in the round you choose.
You can say that again.
They all must lose the round you choose.
I am the greatest.
Hail Cassius, you are the greatest.
And just as I prophesy the round of each victory, I hereby claim I can do the same with this bit of poetry.
Impossible.
We don't believe it.
I can achieve it.
We'll bet you can't do it.
Don't wager, you'll ruin it.
We think it's a fiction. What's your prediction?
Just to save time, three words from me will end this round.
It's one of his jokes.
That's all, folks.
He is the
What's all the more incredible is the fact that he was doing this before he ever became a superstar. At this stage, he still hadn't stood in the ring with Sonny Liston. And yet, he could command the world's attention. And this is all the more remarkable when you think that at this stage, blacks were considered second class, uneducated. It's hard to believe now, but it wasn't until 1964 that segregation was abolished with the introduction of the Civil Rights Act. Don't forget, this was also the time America was sending more and more troops to Vietnam. When Fight Night finally arrived on the 25th of February in 1964, Cassius Clay was a 7-1 outsider to beat Sonny Liston. Yet, he had already created more media hype about the fight than any previous fight prior to this. And when he went on to win by a TKO, it shook not only the boxing world, but the world media also.
Yes, I'm the man this poem is about. I'll be champ of the world, there isn't a doubt. Here I predict Mr. Liston's dismemberment. I'll hit him so hard, he'll wonder where October and November went. When I say two, there's never a third. Betting against me is completely absurd. When Cassius says a mouse can outrun a horse, don't ask how. Put your money where your mouse is. I am the greatest.
When he refused conscription into the army, as the Vietnam War was escalating, he was labelled a coward by many Americans. But he stood up to them all and was threatened with 5 years in jail and was stripped of his heavyweight title and banned from boxing. Though he was despised by whites of a certain age, others saw him as an icon for the counterculture generation.
First of all, I would like to thank the student governing body for inviting me here to speak at this beautiful and worthy occasion tonight. And I would also like to congratulate them on their great, splendid stand to stop the bloody war that's now going on in Vietnam. And as a Muslim minister, my own outlook, my own outlook on war and violence is well known by now. And I would like to say that the number one greeting in my faith is peace. And that is As-salamu alaykum, which means may peace be unto you. There have been many questions put to me why I refuse to be inducted into the United States Army, especially as some have pointed out. Many have pointed out when not taking the step, I will lose so much. And I would like to say to those of the press and those of the people who think that I lost so much by not taking the step, I would like to say that I did not lose a thing up until this very moment. I haven't lost one thing. I have gained a lot. Number one, I have gained a peace of mind. I have gained a peace of heart. I now know that I'm in content with Almighty God Himself, whose proper name is Allah. I have also gained the respect of everyone here today. I have not only gained the respect of everyone here today, but worldwide I have gained the respect. People all over the world. And by taking the step, may have satisfied a few people who are pushing the war. Even if the wealth of America was given to me for taking the step, the wealth of America and the friendship of all of the people who support the war, this will still be nothing if I am not content internally and if I'm not in accord with the will of Almighty Allah. As you read the newspapers and the press now, you see that I am now in court. I am in court seeking justice under the laws of the land. In this country, the United States of America, ministers are exempt from the armed services. And if they choose, I am a Muslim minister and a teacher of the religion of Islam. It has been said that I have two alternatives. Either go to jail or go to the army. But I would like to say that there is another alternative. And that alternative is justice. And if justice prevails, I will neither go to the army nor will I go to jail. They say that actually, every time that I enter the ring, in a way, I'm going to war. They say to me daily, "You are a prize fighter. What's the difference?" And I like to say to those critics of the press and to the others that there is one hell of a lot of difference in fighting in the ring and going to war in Vietnam. Boxing is nothing like going to war with machine guns, bazookas, hand grenades, bomber airplanes. My intention is to box to win a clean fight, but in war, the intention is to kill, 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 and continue killing innocent people. That's what the business is about. I would like to hear this from you, and I want the world and the cameras to hear. Who's the heavyweight champion of the world? And I'm very pleased and thankful for being here. And that's all I would like to say. Thank you very much.
When interviewed on The Dick Cavett Show, Muhammad pulled no punches.
Do you feel bitter toward the entire white race? Do you think there's something about whiteness that is evil?
No, sir. No, sir. Whatever white people do, as far as evil or as far as mistreatment, it's just the nature of the white race to be this way if we check history.
Do you think it might be human nature?
Yes, just human nature to kill. If white people,
human nature,
I watch television, if there's not a movie of white people shooting white people in shootouts and cowboy pictures, they're shooting Indians. If they're not shooting Indians, they're shooting Negroes. If they're not doing that, they're shooting reindeers or elephants or killing something. Just got to shoot. The system is built on war.
He fought the system and won. Having become a Muslim, he became a minister who opposed violence and killing. 3 years later, the High Court overruled the decision and he was allowed to return to the ring. He was to regain the title twice, making him the only boxer in the history of the heavyweight division to win the title 3 times. Ali's great-grandfather was Abe Grady, an Irishman who had left Ireland to settle in Kentucky in 1860. He married a free slave, and one of his grandchildren was Ali's mother, Odessa Lee Grady Clay. Ali visited his great-grandfather's ancestral home in Ennis in Ireland, and of course, the media was there in force.
Situation in, I've never experienced anything like it before. The situation in Ennis was that everybody turned out. Everybody and their mums and their sons and their daughters and their relatives turned out. And they were all there to see the champ. But then we got in the car, the 4x4, and the mob descended upon us. But not a mob descending upon us in the sense that an unruly mob. But people were putting their hand in, and they would touch Muhammad Ali. And the kids would say, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I've touched him, I've touched him, I've touched him. And then we get to a place, and it's right in the center of the city, or near the center of the city, and we laid a stone. And the stone is both in Gaelic and in English. And the stone says on it, to commemorate the visit of our great-great-grandson coming to Ennis with Pierce Lang. And I'm there, and he's again, it's unreal. And we're surrounded by cameras. But Muhammad always relates to the underdog. And he always relates to the, maybe somebody who's in some way either mentally or physically impaired.
Ali once claimed that he threw his Olympic medal into the Ohio River in disgust at the treatment and segregation that he suffered in his own hometown of Louisville. Others say, in actual fact, he simply lost it. But in 1996 in Atlanta, when Ali held the Olympic flame in his trembling hand due to his Parkinson's disease, the world got to see how the great man had been humbled, and the wide world wished him well on his final fight. As an honor to the great man at those games, he received a replacement medal for the one he had lost. On June the 3rd, 2016, at 74 years of age, Muhammad Ali passed away in Scottsdale, Arizona. His net worth at the time is estimated to be around $50 million. At the KFC Yum in Louisville, dignitaries and celebrities from all over the world turned out in force to say a final goodbye to the man they loved and admired.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lani Ali.
On behalf of the Ali family, let me first recognize our principal celebrant, Imam Zayed Shakir, and also Dr. Timothy Giannotti. We thank you for your dedication to helping us fulfill Muhammad's desire that the ceremonies of this past week reflect the traditions of his Islamic faith. And as a family, we thank the millions of people who, through the miracle of social media, inspired by their love for Muhammad, have reached out to us with their prayers. The messages have come in every language from every corner of the globe. From wherever you are watching, know that we have been humbled by your heartfelt expressions of love. It is only fitting that we gather in a city to which Muhammad always returned after his great triumphs, a city that has grown as Muhammad has grown. Muhammad never stopped loving Louisville, and we know that Louisville loves Muhammad. We cannot forget a Louisville police officer, Joe Espy Martin, who embraced a young 12-year-old boy in distress when his bicycle was stolen. Joe Martin handed young Cassius Clay the keys to a future in boxing he could scarcely have imagined. America must never forget that when a cop and an inner city kid talk to each other, then miracles can happen. It was a time when a young black boy his age could be hung from a tree. Emmett Till in Money, Mississippi in 1955, whose admitted killers went free. It was a time when Muhammad's friends, men that he admired, like Brother Malcolm, Dr. King, were gunned down and Nelson Mandela imprisoned for what they believed in. For his part, Muhammad faced federal prosecution. He was stripped of his title and his license to box, and he was sentenced to prison. But he would not be intimidated so as to abandon his principles and his values. Muhammad wants young people of every background to see his life as proof that adversity can make you stronger. It cannot rob you of the power to dream and to reach your dreams. This is why we built the Muhammad Ali Center, and that is the essence of the Ali Center message. It was his religion that caused him to turn away from war and violence. For his religion, he was prepared to sacrifice all that he had and all that he was to protect his soul and follow the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is far more difficult to sacrifice oneself in the name of peace than to take up arms in pursuit of violence.
Muhammad Ali was buried in Cave Hill Cemetery, Louisville, Kentucky, in the United States on June the 10th, 2016. On his gravestone is the simple inscription, "Service to others is the rent you pay for a room in heaven." I'd like to end this tribute to Ali with Ali singing "Stand By Me." Stand by me. Stand by me. Keep on listening to TRP.